Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Hallelujah. Let's be seated. We're going to have some word and then we're going to meet with the Lord. Colossians chapter 1. Just had a very powerful weekend in Germany. Hallelujah. So you German students can praise the Lord. Your country is now converted. Or at least a few more people in your country have been converted. Hallelujah. But you've got some kingdom people. Okay, Colossians 1, verse 9. This is why, since we heard of what God is doing among you, we have never stopped praying for you, asking God to make you aware of his will, that he will give you all the spiritual wisdom and understanding you need. The reason why we pray like this is simple. We want you to live lives worthy of the Lord so that you please him in every possible way. For then you will produce much fruit for his glory through all the good works you do as you continue to know him better. He strengthens you with all the power of his glorious might, and it is this power at work in you that gives you patience, enables you to persist in doing his will, and causes you to maintain your joy, thanking God the Father for all he has done in you. Yes, it is his work in you that means you are now qualified to share in the inheritance he has prepared for all those he has called and set apart to belong to the kingdom of light. For he has already rescued us from the devil's dominion of darkness and has brought us into his own kingdom, the kingdom that belongs to the Son he loves. It is through him that we have been made worthy in God's sight through the forgiveness of all our sins, so that now we belong to him. I believe what we need to do this morning is not so much have a new keynote word, but a review of what God has been saying to us these past few weeks, especially as we're all about to, or most of us are about to go out in placements. You will be all over the place by this time next week. So will I. Hallelujah. My placement is going to be in France. But a little bit different from your placements, I hope. Now, we are a kingdom people. And this is what Paul is asserting in these verses that we've just read. This is why he is so thankful for this church in Colossae. It was a church that was experiencing a lot of opposition from both outside and inside. The opposition inside was the false teaching and heresy and so on that was a great problem at times in the early church, just as it is a great problem today. It's all kinds of heresies. You've only got to get on the internet or even listen to some Christian television just to see how much heresy there is around. But that's another matter. The point that Paul is affirming is that God rescued you from whatever, and he has made you part of his kingdom of light. And therefore, he has put his power within you, the power of the kingdom. Remember, Paul says when he's writing to the Corinthians that the kingdom of God is not a matter of empty talk, but of power, of real power. So if we have the kingdom of God within us, we've got the kingdom of heaven within us. And what God wants to do through our lives is to reveal something of the nature of who he is, and therefore something of the nature of heaven, which is why he taught us to pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're called to do his heavenly will. Now, that's something we would all be well aware of. If we're a kingdom people, what God has been teaching us these last weeks is that we need a kingdom mindset. We need to think kingdom. That, if you like, should be our normal way of thinking. Not something that we have to sort of adjust, that we've got a worldly mindset and then we suddenly have to change gear and get a kingdom mindset. What God wants is for that kingdom mindset to be the normal way in which we think. Now, if we think kingdom, we think a number of things automatically. For example, all those seven principles that God has been teaching us. We think mercy. We think love. We think increase. We think faith. We think authority, both submission to authority and that we have authority. We think power. And we think unity. And as we've seen, what it means to live in righteousness and to live in holiness is to live according to those kingdom principles. That Jesus talked about righteousness every now and again, but he didn't sort of preach about righteousness, just as he never preached about holiness. What he did was to preach about the things, to preach about the principles that would lead to a righteous and a holy life. And of course, he gave his life on the cross to make us righteous and holy. Gave us the Spirit so that we could live according to the kingdom lifestyle. So we think kingdom. We think all those seven ways. And if we're thinking in those seven ways, then actually we will be thinking righteously. We will be thinking in a holy manner. Are you with me? Now, we know we have the enemy, and the enemy opposes all those principles of the kingdom. God's made that very clear to us in these last weeks. Now, that means that his attack begins with our thinking. He doesn't want us to think mercy. He doesn't want us to think love. He doesn't want us to think increase. He doesn't want us to think faith. He doesn't want us to think authority, because that defeats him. He doesn't want us to think power, and he doesn't want us to think that we are one. So all the time, the enemy puts the focus on the negative, while the Holy Spirit puts the focus on the positive. We've seen, haven't we, that everything about the kingdom of God is positive. Now, Jesus lived the life of the kingdom here on earth perfectly. So he was positive in every way. He was positive in all those seven principles. We see them operating in our lives. He was merciful, full of love. See the increase that, you know, he sowed his life and got a multitude for the kingdom of God. And so on. We see the faith, the authority, the power, and the unity that he had with his Father, out of which all his ministry flowed. So we see those principles operating. And because the kingdom is within us, we know that God wants those principles to be operating in our lives. But unfortunately, they don't operate as perfectly in us as they did in him. Now, the reason for that starts with our minds. That we don't think kingdom in the way that he would have thought kingdom. His whole thinking. Remember, he came from heaven, so his whole thinking would be sort of heaven-centered. And of course, Paul understands that this is the secret of living a kingdom life. Set your heart and mind on things above. Set your mind on heavenly things, not on earthly things, he says. Get this heavenly mindset. Get this kingdom mindset. And in one way or another, that's a struggle for us because we have to contend with the world. Now, all the principles of the world are diametrically opposed to the principles of the kingdom. And we were all brought up with worldly mindsets. And it takes some time to convert from a worldly mindset to a kingdom mindset. But we're surrounded by a worldly mindset. We're bombarded by a worldly mindset. Every newspaper you read, every time you turn your television on, all around us in the attitudes of people that we meet, there is a worldly anti-kingdom mindset. So we're having to sort of combat that with the shield of faith. But we're also having to combat our own flesh because there is nothing good in our flesh, in our self-life, Jesus says. I think he ought to know. So, you know, we're fighting against that self-life which is not kingdom-centered, which is not kingdom-purposed. Which is why Jesus said if anybody is going to follow him, he's got to deny himself. And of course, when we deny ourselves, then the kingdom of God can be expressed within us. When we please ourselves instead of denying ourselves, when we do what we want to do in the flesh, then of course, we give the enemy an opportunity because we're not functioning in kingdom values at that moment. Now, that's true for every one of us. We all do that far more than we would want to. Sometimes in minor ways, sometimes in more significant ways. But the point is that God always brings us back to the kingdom values. And that's the great power of the blood, isn't it? That it washes us clean, keeps us able to move in the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit will reproduce kingdom life through us. Are we getting this? And then, of course, there's the devil himself, and he is the accuser of the brethren, he's the deceiver of the brethren. And we've seen that we can always tell when we're listening to the Holy Spirit because he always speaks what is positive. And we can tell when we're listening to the enemy because he always speaks what is negative. So when we're thinking negative, it's because we've come under the influence of the enemy. When we're thinking positively, we are really flowing under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So when we think mercy, that's the Holy Spirit. When we think judgment, that's the enemy. When we think love, that's the Holy Spirit. When we think selfishness, that's the enemy stirring up the flesh to please ourselves instead of to please the Lord and so on. When we are thinking giving and generosity and grace and increase, that's the Holy Spirit. When we're thinking mingy, stingy, give a little or give not at all, that's the enemy, isn't it? And so on. We go through all these various principles. Now, we can sum all this up as Paul does, really, saying there are three things that abide, that persist forever: faith, love, and hope. And we just need to see how this whole picture of living in God's kingdom affects those three things in particular. We need to be a kingdom faith people. I wonder where the title of this ministry came from. You see, it sums up what we're to be, not just a people of faith, but a people of kingdom faith. A people whose expectation, therefore, is that in whatever we do, in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit, is going to manifest the life, the presence, the power, the victory of God's kingdom. Now, I want you to understand that wherever the kingdom is manifested, there is victory. See, there is victory. There has to be victory. Because the kingdom is the rule and the reign of Jesus. Now, that means he rules and reigns over us, over circumstances, over situations. And wherever he rules over, there is victory. Are we there? Now, sometimes that victory is manifested instantaneously. Sometimes it's a process. But what we see is that there's a prophetic thing happening. You see, what God says he is doing and is going to do, and we'll come on a little bit more to this when we talk about hope in a minute, but he is bringing everything under the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. Everything. And when Jesus comes again, everything will be submitted to his rule, and that which is not will be done away. That will pass away. So in the new heaven and the new earth, everything and everyone who is part of that will acknowledge the rule and reign, will live under, will be submitted to the rule and the reign of God. They will be living in victory. There won't be the world, the flesh, and the devil like there is now in that when there's a new heaven and the new earth. Because the victory that was begun on the cross will have been fully revealed and established when Jesus comes again. So every time we enable the kingdom of God to be manifested, it's like a prophetic foretelling of what is going to happen when Jesus comes again. By comparison with what will happen then, they're minor things, you know. But the transformation of life, the deliverance of people from the dominion of darkness and from all the influence of darkness, it's all revealing the kingdom of God. It's just like a prophetic deposit. You know, Paul talks about the Holy Spirit being the deposit of our inheritance. It's as if, well, this is the first sign, this is a foretaste of that total victory that will be revealed when Jesus comes again. And so Paul says, you know, that God always leads us in his triumphant procession in Christ. Why? Because the purpose of living in Christ is to see the kingdom established, to see the kingdom advance, to see more and more lives being brought out of darkness into light. So our faith, you see, is that as we touch the world, as we touch lives in the world, there will be transformation from darkness to light. Now, you see, this, you must listen carefully here. This is a matter of faith. It's not a question of saying, well, I need to witness, or I need to share Jesus, or I need to do this, that, or the other with this person. When you do those things, you need a kingdom mindset. Right. This is going to work. Yeah. This person is going to come out of darkness into light. Right. Yeah. This person is going to get delivered from whatever bondage, whatever negative situation. This person is going to be set free. This person is going to be healed, or whatever the situation is. Why? Because the power of the kingdom, the truth of the kingdom, the authority of the kingdom, the faith of the kingdom is operating through you. You've always got to be careful what you say, because everything gets up on the internet these days. But when I was talking to Pastor, when I first arrived in Germany, you know, I just sort of said, how are things going? And he says, well, if I'm absolutely honest with you, the thing that is the most discouraging thing at present is how much spiritual laziness there is among God's people. I thought that was a very interesting way of putting it. Well, we left a few hundred people a lot less lazy than they were a few days ago, let me tell you. But you see, that is a problem, isn't it, in the church, not just in Germany, but everywhere, that people can settle back into a nice, sort of orderly way of church life. And yes, there's blessing, and yes, there's good things happening, and yes, there's nice teaching, and yes, we have good services, and yes, the worship is lovely, and all this kind of thing, and we can be content. But it's not about us, and it's not about all those things. Those things are sort of incidental to God's kingdom purposes. So, you know, we're not spiritually lazy people, are we? And when you leave Rafi, you're not going to become spiritually lazy. You are beginning to adopt a kingdom lifestyle. But you see, that has to begin with kingdom thinking. Now, kingdom thinking can't be lazy. Kingdom thinking can't be defeatist. Kingdom thinking has to be victorious. Kingdom thinking is, I am bringing the rule and reign of God into this situation. So it must make a difference. Even if you don't see everybody being converted immediately, it's what you're doing is going to make a difference. It's not just a question of sowing seeds. The lives of those people are going to be impacted because you're there and because something is operating in your life and is operating through you by the things you say, by the attitudes that you have, that people pick up, because they pick up attitudes much more than they pick up words, actually. It's not just the words, it's the attitude with which the words speak. The attitude conveys far more than perhaps we realize. And what people need is to be confronted with a people with kingdom attitude. Yes, kingdom words, kingdom activity, kingdom power, but they've got a kingdom faith attitude. And that's always positive. It's always expecting not just good, but the best. And that's what God wants to drum into us, really. Not just to expect something and be content with something, but to expect the best and only be content with the best. This is kingdom faith. And you see, even that title got birthed out of the revival that God was doing. We changed the title of the ministry to Kingdom Faith in the early 80s out of the revival that was happening then. And I can remember it happened by the side of a swimming pool in South Africa. When one of the other elders and I, we were doing a tour of South Africa, and we just had a couple of hours one morning when there wasn't a meeting, and Summer's nice guy where we were staying had a pool, and we were just sort of lying there. And I just said, you know, I believe God wants us to change the name of this ministry. And the other guy, who's called Charlie, he said, what to? And I said, Kingdom Faith. His immediate answer was, but everybody will confuse us with Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, no, Jehovah's Witnesses don't own the kingdom. We do. And we're going to take the title back for the real kingdom of God. And you know, a lot of people said that when we first used the phrase Kingdom Faith. I got so much criticism all over the place. But now you hardly ever hear such things as that, because, praise God, so many more people are thinking kingdom. They can think kingdom, talk kingdom without even thinking about Jehovah's Witnesses. See, things have shifted in that period of time. Praise God. We have taken back that phrase, the kingdom, for the real kingdom. But you see, I believe God wanted to change the title because that expressed who we were then. What we had become from our start. We started as a fellowship, as a community, but we'd become a kingdom faith people. And that's what God wanted us to be. Amen. So this faith will persist because, you see, it's faith in the eternal values, the eternal plan and purpose that God has, we are that prophetic foretelling of what is to come. Not only us, of course, but all those who live a kingdom lifestyle. And this is developing more and more all over the place. You hear more and more emphasis on the kingdom. I can remember when I first went around talking about the kingdom of God, people would come up to me at the end of one meeting after another and say, why haven't we heard about this kingdom? And these are people who have been in church all their lives, many of them. I say, nobody ever talks about the kingdom. Why? Because there wasn't kingdom consciousness. Everybody thought church, talked about church. They didn't think kingdom, so they didn't talk about kingdom. So praise God, things are changing, and things are going to change still more, aren't they? But we are kingdom people. We're not just church people, we're kingdom people. I mean, what is the church? The church is to be a kingdom people. That's what it's supposed to be. Not church people, but kingdom people. Are you there? So, praise God. We have not only kingdom faith, but kingdom love. Because what is the motto of kingdom faith? Faith working through love. And that motto came out at the same time as we changed the title. Well, we might have been using it before, I don't know. But anyway, it expressed, you see, that we were not just a people of kingdom faith, but a people of kingdom love. That faith has to be expressed through love. Not a faith movement where all the emphasis is on faith and sometimes there's not too much evidence of love. But there's got to be the expression of kingdom love. Now, kingdom love, as we know, is not emotional love. It's not based upon the world's values of love. It's based upon God's values of love, isn't it? But the point is, you see, that as we saw when we were looking at the principles, kingdom love means you love everyone. You love God with all your heart. You love your neighbor as yourself. You love your brother as he loves you. You even love your enemy. There isn't anyone that you're not allowed to love. No, there's not anyone that you're allowed not to love. That's get the words in the right order, then they mean what I want to say. You know, we can never opt out and say, I can't love that person, or I won't love that person, or I choose not to love that person. Because kingdom love is inclusive. Now, here is a strange thing about the gospel. You see, the cross is inclusive. It included everyone, every sinner, every person of every generation. But the kingdom is exclusive. Remember, Jesus said to the disciples, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God is given to you, but not to them, not to the people of the world. The gospel is inclusive, but the kingdom is exclusive. Why? Because the only ones who belong to the kingdom are those who have placed their lives under the sovereign rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Now, because of the inclusiveness of the gospel and the cross, God's kingdom purpose is for the kingdom to advance, to include more and more into what is exclusive. Can you understand what I'm saying here? So we are a particular people. We are a special people. And God, you see, from the moment he established Israel, as Israel, has always had a special people, and we are grafted into Israel. We're grafted into the special people of God. That's exclusive. That's why the Jews are hated so much by other nations, because they claim to be exclusive. And I'm not saying we're to go around saying we're an exclusive people. That is not the way to communicate the gospel. But you see, what happens when a person is born again, they come out of the world into something that is exclusive. Jesus died to include them, but they couldn't be included until they repented and believed. But you see, we're not an exclusive club where we, you know, we want to set ourselves apart and think we're so much better than everybody else and make it difficult for others to join. Our purpose is to get more and more of those that were included in the cross into the exclusiveness of the kingdom, so that they too will be a special people. They too will be a holy people. They too will be a people set apart for the glory of God. Now, you see, what Jesus says, what the other New Testament writers say, is the way you communicate that faith must always be in love. Why? Because love draws. There's a key scripture. I can remember when I was a very, very young Christian. I'd be sometime in my early teens, I suppose, about 13, something like that. I can remember a particular scripture that God used to really impact me in a very profound way. It's when he says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you." I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you. I can't remember the reference at this moment, but I think it's Jeremiah somewhere, isn't it? "I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you." Now you see, this is it. His loving kindness draws people. Draws them to himself. So the people that, if you like, at this moment are excluded, and you have to understand they are excluded from the kingdom. Paul makes that clear if we were to read chapter 1 of Ephesians, you know that you're included in Christ when you hear the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of your inheritance that is to come. So it's when people believe the gospel that then they become included. But what is going to draw them into the kingdom is the love. Which is why Jesus says, "Father, may they be one, that the world will know that you have sent me and that you have loved them as you have loved me." That love will be expressed in unity. Now, God has been speaking to all of us, hasn't he, about camp, and we all have got great expectations of what God is going to do this year at camp. But one of the things that has been impressing upon me in recent days is how absolutely essential it is that we go into camp in complete unity. Because if we are not in complete heart unity with one another, he cannot do what he intends to do at the camp. You see, we've got to be the leaven. And I say we, I mean Kingdom Faith, not just those of us who are here this morning. But we have got to be the leaven that works through the whole lump. You see? And if we go in with that unity, what is going to happen is that everybody at camp is going to be drawn to Christ, whether they're already believers or not. But I think it's very significant that this year we're going to have a seminar for the unsaved or for newly saved, because there's going to be a drawing of people to Christ. It's not going to be just, you know, somebody's going to preach a good evangelistic message and in the youth meetings and the children's groups we're going to hear testimonies of how many gave their lives to Jesus. All that is great, but that is only going to be a part of what I believe is going to happen at camp this year, there's going to be a drawing of everybody to Christ. Not just the unsaved, but the saved too. They're going to be drawn to Christ. It's as if, you know, it's as if Jesus, if I can, without being sacrilegious in any way, if I can put it like this, Jesus is going to be like a magnet in the midst of us, just drawing people to himself, so that people are going to be clinging to Jesus. They're not going to be clinging to man. They're not going to be clinging to ministry. They're not going to be saying, oh, what wonderful meeting, what a wonderful message, or what a wonderful this, that, or the other. They're going to say, what a wonderful Lord, because they're going to be drawn to him. You see? But it's that loving kindness. It's that everlasting love that's going to do it. And yes, the gospel is preached, and those that are outside are going to come inside. Those that Jesus included in what he did on the cross are then going to be included in his kingdom life. So it's very important that we think love when we think kingdom. That if we're not loving in our attitudes, we're not kingdom in our attitudes. Hello? And you know, you can sort of say, John says, let us not love with words, but in deed and in truth, yes. And it's easy for Christians to say, oh, you know, I love you, brother, but, and then boom. you get on the receiving end of something that's really negative. Well, is that real? I mean, it's not kingdom love, is it? So what you see God is wanting us to do is to say, right, now, if you are going to love, you're going to be positive. Whatever you say will be positive. Now, we're confronted with the negative all the time because the world is negative. The people in the world are negative. The unsaved are negative. Unfortunately, a lot of saved people are negative. And you can come up against the negative all the time. Now, the important thing is that you don't respond to the negative with negative. Because then you've got a double negative that is even worse than the single negative. But you see, you keep positive no matter how negative the situation or how negative the people or how negative their attitudes or how negative what they're saying. You are responding with the kingdom. And the kingdom is positive. Love is positive. Faith is positive. And actually, that's what undoes people. I've told you this testimony before, but the Spirit just reminds me of it now because it's a great example of what I'm talking about. I told you of a time a long time ago when I was pastoring in Luton when. A member of the church asked me to go and see his father, who was not a believer and who was really dying. He had a serious condition that needed surgery, but he had a very weak heart. And the doctors knew that he would not be able to survive the surgery. So they were at a loss, really, what to do. What do you do? Do you let the guy die or do you do the surgery and he dies on the operating table? You know, it was one of those kind of situations. So this brother asked me to go and see his father. And when I did, I sat by his bed and I kid you not, this is no exaggeration, for 1 hour the man talked non-stop, full of vitriolic hatred. Real hatred of God, of the church, and of pastors in particular. And I mean, it was just a constant flow of abuse. And I couldn't even get a word in. And I sat there listening to all this stuff. And I said to the Lord, Lord, what do I do in the face of this? And the Holy Spirit just said two words to me. He said, heal him. Now, when he finally stopped, I said to him, a bit of an understatement, I said, I can see you don't believe in God. I said, but I do. And I believe that God wants to heal you. Will you let me pray for you? Now, you can imagine what a hardened man he must have been to be full of so much hatred. But as he lay there in his bed, tears started to roll down his cheeks. At that moment, God taught me something. See, he taught me the power of love in a new way. That the man could not believe that he could be so abusive, so rude. I mean, he didn't know me, but he was just rude generally about pastors, and that obviously included me. He couldn't see how it could be so negative, so rude, so abusive. And what he got back was love. Not really for me, I was just doing what God was telling me to do. But it had to be expressed through me. Now, when I prayed for him, you know, I went back 4 days later, and he was surrounded in his hospital bed by all these doctors. And it was a bit embarrassing because in those days they had big open wards, you know, about 20 beds in a ward. And he sort of saw me coming down the ward towards him through some gap, I suppose, in all these doctors that were around. And he sort of shouted out, I'm a fraud. These doctors can find nothing wrong with me and they won't let me go home. They wanted to do investigative surgery because they couldn't see how, you know, his problems had all been solved. So they wanted to cut him. What on earth has happened? But praise God, they didn't. They didn't do that. But you see, that's God, isn't it? In the midst of all of that. Now, that man, to my knowledge, never came to the Lord. He certainly didn't come to the Lord then. God was honoring the faith of the couple that belonged to our church in healing the father. He may have come to the Lord subsequently, I don't know, because lost touch. But you see, the kingdom was manifested. Why? Because even in the face of such negativity, Jesus reigned over the disease.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's it, you see. If we just look at situations with our human assessment, we would say, no way can anything happen here. I would have to say that that would have been my human reaction in a situation like that. Well, you know, this is a lost cause. I don't even know why I've come to listen to this lot. If I just looked at it at that level. But I didn't quite do that because I was saying, Lord, what do I do? You've got me here in this situation. What do I do? And you see, when you hear from the Holy Spirit, it's always positive.
Yes.
Well, heal him. That's positive. That's a good sort of word to have in a situation like that, isn't it? The Holy Spirit didn't say, well, give up on him. The Holy Spirit didn't say, he's a lost cause. Holy Spirit didn't say, I've had enough of all the abusive stuff that he's been saying about me. Because he had a few things to say about the Holy Spirit, let me tell you. Because he knew his son had been filled with the Spirit and was talking to him about the Holy Spirit and all of that. So, there are a few things said about it. But you see, God gives us the positive that overcomes the negative. He gives us the light that dispels the darkness. This is kingdom. But it's not allowing the circumstances or what people say to us to affect our loving attitude towards them. Now we saw this, didn't we, with the father and the prodigal son. That the father's attitude when he received back the prodigal was absolutely amazing. But this is the father heart of God, isn't it? He didn't reprimand him, didn't rebuke him, didn't say you've got to go through a time of discipline, you've got to, you know, a punishment or anything like that before you can be restored to the family. He just ran, embraced him with a great big hug and a kiss, and killed the fatted calf and had a celebration. Because this son of mine, remember, he's a believer, this son of mine was lost, but he's found again. And that was, that's the positive power of love, of mercy, of forgiveness, of the kingdom. It's the kingdom of mercy, isn't it? Kingdom of love. And so this takes us on to the hope. You see, because hope relates to the future, doesn't it? Just as faith relates to the present, hope relates to the future. But you see, what are our expectations of the future? If we think kingdom, they're all positive. They're all positive. That when we think negatively, that's not kingdom. It's that which opposes the kingdom. Are you there? So even our expectation of what lies ahead is positive. You see, I can look back on a long and fruitful ministry and be thankful to God for that. But what matters to me now is what lies ahead. You know, I was speaking a couple of weeks ago at Reading, and I had a meal with the leaders of the various churches at the end of the teaching day. And one of them, a young pastor, at the end of the meal, he took me to one side and he just said, "Do you mind if I ask you a personal question?" I said, "No." And he said, "Well, I know that you have seen so many wonderful things in God. But is there anything left that you want to see? That you really desire to see?" And he was trying to be diplomatic in the way he put it, in the latter years of your life. And I said to him, I didn't hesitate with the answer. I said, "The only thing that matters to me now is that I fulfill what God called me to do, that I fulfill His kingdom purpose for me on earth." That's the only thing that matters. You see, because we've got to look forward all the time. We don't look back, do we? You become a pillar of salt by looking back. You look forward expectantly to what lies ahead. Forgetting what lies behind, reaching out for what lies ahead, as Paul says. We want to take hold of everything for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. So our expectation of the future is, right, I'm going to take hold of more. I'm going to see God do more. Now, if I see God do more than I've seen, let me tell you, the next few years are going to be pretty mighty. Very mighty. See? But I believe that. I really genuinely believe that I'm not a has-been or I've seen the best years of my ministry or anything. I just don't believe that. Don't accept that for a moment. I believe greater things lie ahead. I believe we're going to see the Spirit of God. It's not just a personal thing, you know. It's not just seeing the Spirit of God move through my personal ministry. I'm not talking about that. It's seeing what God does in the body, that we as a kingdom people, that I'm going to witness what God is going to do through us as a kingdom people that is going to transcend anything that I've seen. I really believe that. And of course, I will be part of that because I'm part of the body. Amen. And that's the only thing that matters. But you see, I mean, I believe that this isn't just a personal thing. I believe that this has got to be the mindset of all of us. Well, the only thing that matters for every one of us is that God's kingdom purposes are fulfilled in our lives. Not, listen. If you ever seek your own ministry, you're next to lost. You're not quite lost, but you're next to lost. Really. Just let me tell you that, someone with a long experience of ministry. If your ministry ever becomes important to you, you are one step away from losing it. Are you hearing me? Because you see, we seek first the kingdom, not our ministries. Our focus isn't on my ministry. I've seen so many people over the years go astray because of that. God has been using them. Then they get exalted ideas about their ministry. My ministry. I've got to protect my ministry. God is concerned about my ministry. God wants my ministry to... And I think, oh, dear God, help them. Because it's not about your ministry. It's not about my ministry. It's about the kingdom. It's about the purposes of God. It's about seeing the will of God fulfilled on earth. I've seen people in the past that were valued members of Kingdom Faith, greatly used, some people that have been in leadership. And this same thing has happened to every one of them in different ways, because every situation is unique and different. But the enemy has got in. Somebody has said to them, you don't need Kingdom Faith anymore. You don't need Colin Urquhart anymore. You need your own ministry. And you know, if people listen to stuff like that, you know what they do? They go off and try to set up their own ministry. And before you know where they are has-beens. One who was one of the most anointed Bible teachers in this nation ended up selling cars because of receiving a word like that. Praise God, God then restored his ministry. But I mean, he went through, I don't know what. But it's happened to other people too. Now, you see, what I'm saying to you is, even as you go out on ministry, I mean, you guys are at the beginning of something that God is going to outwork in your lives, most of you. But you see, don't go out with the attitude of, I'm going with my ministry, or how God is going to use my ministry. No, I'm going out to serve the Lord. I'm going out to serve the kingdom. It's not about my ministry. It's about him. It's about his kingdom. It's about what he wants to do. It's about his ministry. That's why, you see, the only thing that matters to me is that I fulfill his purpose. Not my ministry. But his purpose, whatever he planned, that's what has got to be fulfilled. And in the few years ahead for you guys, whatever he's planned for you has to be fulfilled. It has to be fulfilled. That should be the prime consideration. But don't ever let the focus get on yourself and your ministry. Because I tell you, you're one step away from disaster, from a real fall, if you allow that to happen to you. So praise God. Amen. Amen. One last thing. We are all ministers. We all do have a ministry, but our focus is not on that, because what... I'll read this again in a moment, just before we pray. And when I read it again, what you'll see, the whole emphasis that Paul is laying here in these verses is that it's Christ working through us. It's not our, you know, It's him. It's what he is doing. It's what he is working. It's how he is using us. It's his ministry. We have a ministry because he is ministering through us. Now, this is the hope. This is the hope that God is going to work more and more fully through us. He's going to do more and more than we have seen. Why? Because we're thinking kingdom. We have kingdom heart attitudes of love. And our hope and our expectation is there's going to be more and more and more of God's kingdom revealed. More of his life. More of his power because of the kingdom faith. More people drawn because of the kingdom love. More glory for the Lord. That's our hope. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Not by this are we exalted in ministry. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, how can you lose yourself and be concerned about your ministry? Can you understand what I'm saying? See, the absolute essential. Now listen to me, because I do know what I'm talking about, right? The absolute essential to a successful ministry is to stay humble. Never think you are somebody because of what God has done or how God uses you. Never, ever, never lose sight of that humility. I mean, if Jesus said that he had a gentle and humble heart, and he did what he did, how on earth can we think that we are anything? How on earth can we get big, exalted ideas about ourselves or our ministry? I can be thankful to God for all that I've seen him do. But I've told you before, that's never my concern or my emphasis. To be absolutely honest with you, my attitude is always, what more could God have done through my life if I trusted him more, loved him more, obeyed him more fully? But we can't live on if onlys. You see, you can think like that. Well, praise God for what you've done, but oh God, you could have done so much more if only. I mean, I do think like that. And when I do, usually the Lord pulls me up and say, well, look forward with hope, with expectation. Expect more. Expect greater things. I was going to speak at a big conference once, and there was a guy there who reputation I'd heard of as being, people described him to me as the most accurate prophet. He had a most remarkable ministry that I'd heard about, but I'd never met him. And there was a sort of a party, a reception, you know, for all the speakers and pastors and everybody before this conference began. And during the course of the evening, this man, I didn't know who he was at first. He came over to me and he said, He said, I've heard about your ministry. And then he said who he was. And I said, yeah, and I've heard about your ministry. And he said, but I don't know you, but ever since I arrived here, God has been speaking to me about you. And he said, God has given me a word for you. You have seen the 30-fold. You have seen the 60-fold. But you will see the 100-fold. And the 100-fold will be when you do less and God will do more. Well, I've reached the time in my life when I'm doing less. But God keeps reminding me of that prophecy. Because I'm going to see more. I'm not concerned about, but you see, it's not because I want to be in the spotlight, because I don't. I've never had that desire, to be honest with you. But, you know, I've lived in the spotlight for many, many years. But all that stuff means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. I don't want to be someone well-known and people, you know, as long as they keep reading my books, that's all that matters. Because that's a ministry, isn't it, to so many people. But you see, it's not a question of that. It's not saying, oh, God, I want a more powerful ministry. No, I just want to see. See, that prophecy was, you've seen the 30-fold. You've seen the 100-fold. I don't care how it happens. It'll happen, I believe, in a totally different way from anything I've seen in the past. For me, the wonderful thing will be that every one of us is part of it. Every one of us is seeing amazing increase out of what we're doing. That the spotlight isn't on me. The spotlight isn't on Pastor Clive or any particular individuals. Although, you know, you can never get away from individuals because God works for individuals. But the spotlight really is on what he does through the body. And that what gets communicated, you see, to people in other places is it's not dependent upon this person, that person, and his anointing or her anointing or this, that, the other, but it's through what God is doing through the body. Beloved, we are coming up to the 100-fold. I believe that. Come on, let's stand. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Come on, just give him glory. Give him glory. Pura taparia leto bakara sataria leto bakara sita. Bapara sataria leto bakara sitri satupa. Bala taparia leto bakara sitri sataria leto bakara sitri sandupa. Bazandaria leto bakara sitri sataria leto bakara sitri sandupa. Bazandaria leto bakara sitri sataria leto bakara sitri sandupa. Bambara zataria lero bakara sitri sandu. Oh, raza taparia lero bakara sitri. Bapara zataria lero bakara sitri sandu balato bakara sitri sandu. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, rasa tapara. Now come on, thank him that the kingdom is within you. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank him that because of that we have that full inheritance. Just listen to some of these words again. Oh, we praise you, Lord. The reason why we pray like this is simple. We want you to live lives worthy of the Lord so that you please him in every possible way. For then you will produce much fruit for his glory through all the good work you do as you continue to know him better. He strengthens you with all the power of his glorious might. Now listen, and it is this power at work in you that gives you patience, enables you to persist in doing his will, and causes you to maintain your joy, thanking God the Father for all he has done in you. Hallelujah. Purasata pakarazito risatuba. Oh, rata parazata parazito. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you that you're at work within every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for all the ways that you have worked through us. Thank you for the ways you worked through us last week in the Love Horsham. Thank you, Lord, that as we prepare to go out to our placements, you're going to be working in us. You're going to be working through us. Hallelujah. We're going to see much fruit because of what you do in us, what you do through us. So, Lord, we go out with a kingdom mindset. We go out with this mindset of knowing that we are a people of kingdom faith. And, Lord, we think the positive. We expect the positive. We believe the positive. We thank you that your word is positive. We thank you that your spirit is positive. We thank you that you're going to lead us to be positive in every situation, to take the light where there is darkness, to take the positive where there is negativity, to take freedom where there is bondage. And we just give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We thank you that we are a kingdom people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Puparazata parazata pai. Paparazata parazata bakarazita. Now thank you, Lord, that we go out with kingdom love. And we love whoever you give us to love. Whether they're easy to love, whether they're not. Whether they're negative, whether they're hating, whether they're abusive. Whatever comes at us, we thank you, Lord, that you will give us the grace to respond with love. Lord, if people come with accusation, if people come with criticism, if people come with judgment, whatever they come with, we will respond with love, with mercy, with compassion, with tenderheartedness. And we thank you, Lord, that love is going to win the day. That love will break down those barriers. Love will reduce people to tears. Love, Lord, will do its work. Your love working in us. Your love working through us. Thank you, Lord, for barriers being pulled down. Thank you for breakthroughs happening in people's lives because of the way in which we just take your love into those situations. Now, thank you, Lord, that your loving kindness will draw them. Thank you, we're going to see people drawn not to us, but drawn to you. Not to the church even, but drawn to you. Thank you, Lord, that as we express that love, so you would draw people to yourself. And we just give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Puparazata parazato bakarazitoba. Baratapare eledo bakarazita di sandoba. Bazandari eledo bakarazita di satari eledo bakarazitoba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you will give us the grace that when we're confronted with certain situations, people won't think that we're judging them or sort of assessing them or weighing them up or anything like that. But they will catch that attitude of love, that attitude that wants to draw them into your acceptance, that wants to draw them into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to do that. Thank you for the anointing of your grace upon us. Praise your wonderful name. And Lord, we thank you that as a kingdom people, we're a people of hope. Thank you that our expectations, not just for placement, but our expectations for the future, are full of the positive. Thank you, we haven't seen anything yet compared to what we're going to see. Thank you, Lord, that we're reaching out for that which lies ahead. We're reaching out to see the greater things still. Lord, we're reaching out for the hundredfold. Oh, rasata parazata pari eletu bakarazitapa. Bazatari eletu bakarazita risatuba. Bazandari eletu bakarazita risandaba. Now, Lord, I just pray that you will give us grace during these coming weeks, especially as so many of us are going into sort of new things, that we won't have a focus on ourselves and our ministry. We won't be concerned about how we're doing or comparing ourselves with others or anything like that. But we will just see that your purpose is for you to minister through us, to speak through us, to love through us, to express your mercy and your loving kindness and your compassion, that we will speak the truth in love, the truth that will set people free, but always be in love, never in judgment, never in condemnation, but always in love. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you that your kingdom is within us. Your spirit lives within us to enable us to live the life of your kingdom. Thank you that we can do all this stuff, not in ourselves, but because you are working in us and you are working through us. So we just take that shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the evil one. We take that shield of faith now against every negative that the enemy throws at us. Now, I believe the Lord is saying that this is something very important, especially for those of you going out in placement. It's important for all of us. But because some of you are going into sort of situations where you've never been before, the Lord is saying to you, keep that shield of faith in place. Because the enemy will fire negative things at you. He might do it through other people, but I think principally he would just do it directly, you know. Thoughts, they'll just come as thoughts. You're no good. You're failing. It's not working. You're not effective. You got it wrong. You see, they're all accusations. He's the accuser of the brethren. And I believe the Lord is saying, keep that shield of faith in place, so you do not listen to any accusations. Are you hearing this? Come on, just pray over this now. Tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to keep that shield. I'm determined about this. I'm determined to keep that shield of faith in place so that every accusation, every negative, condemning thought that comes from the enemy or from what anybody else says to me will just bounce off that shield of faith. Thank you, those things are not the truth about me. Thank you, Lord, that despite our weakness and our inexperience in many ways, yet despite all of that, you are going to work through every single one of us. There's going to be good fruit. There's going to be positive fruit for your kingdom. The churches where we go are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. The people are going to be blessed. Your kingdom purposes are going to advance. And we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Now, one of the things that Paul said in that scripture is that the power of God working in us enables us to be patient. And I believe God is saying, be patient. You know, be patient with people. Just like you always want people patient with you. When you're working through something, you have to be patient with others while they work through things. Yes? Okay, so let that fruit of patience. Don't react. Right? When you react with love, you react often with patience as well as with mercy. So Lord, I just pray that grace will be upon everybody as they go out, so that, Lord, there will be that fruit of patience being manifested in one situation after another. And I believe God is saying that this is going to be particularly the case when you're dealing with young people. Some of you probably will be dealing with youth groups and young people generally in the churches. Be patient. Always remember how patient God has been with you. This is always the way, you see. Just remember how God has been merciful to you, so be merciful to others. Remember how he's been patient with you, so be patient with them. Just remember, you see, how loving God has been to you, then you can be loving to others. If you're just living in the revelation of how loving, kind, patient, good, generous, gracious, forgiving, understanding that he's been to you, then that enables you to be like that to other people. When you lose sight of how he has reacted towards you, then you begin to react negatively to others. We can only love because he's first loved us. So you just keep that in focus. You keep remembering how much he loves you, how much he is with you, how much he is for you, how much he wants to work through you, how much he is taking you into those situations so that he can do something, not so you can do something, but so that he can do something through you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Glory be to your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just pray in the Spirit for a moment, just as we finish. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, just remain in prayer for a moment. We're just going to finish now. But I believe the Lord is saying that what you all desire to see is response. You want to see people responding. And the Lord's saying to you, well, just remember what motivates you to respond. You always respond positively to encouragement. So go and encourage my people, the Lord says. You respond to love. So go and love my people, says the Lord. You respond when people are positive about you. So go and be positive. Speak that which is good and right and positive and upbuilding into the lives of my people. And they will respond. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's just something awesome for this moment. Just the hand of God. Just the hand of God is upon you. You're not going out on your own. You're going to be living in the shadow of the Most High. You're going to be living in the shadow of his glory. His hand upon you. praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for all the ways in which, even if some of us have to face difficult situations, you will always encourage us. You will enable us to be patient. You will enable us to respond positively, no matter what the circumstances. And we just give you all the honor, all the praise. And thank you, Lord, as we go out in little teams of 2, 3, 4 people, that we can encourage one another. We can build one another up. We can stand together in faith. We can believe together. Hallelujah. But Lord, above all, we thank you that you go with us. And you go before us. Bless your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big thank you. Hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.